I take my text this morning from the collect of today's Mass. This is a loose translation from the Latin, which gives, I think, the sense of this short but powerful prayer. Grant thy people, Lord, to avoid infection in the devil's pandemic, and just to follow thee, the only God, through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today used to be called the Sunday of the Love of God because of the gospel I've just now sung at the altar. Our blessed Savior was asked about the greatest commandment, and his answer was not fear, not force, not reward, but to love diliges, thou shalt love. And so we read, a doctor of the law asked him, tempting him, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and with thy whole soul and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like to this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments dependeth the whole law and the prophets. They may be listed, one commentator noted, as two separate commandments, but they are not two separate loves, much less multiple choice. Choose one of the above, and that's enough. No, the first must bubble over into the second. And without the other, it would just dry up and die. Consult your own experience. The love of neighbor is a superhuman thing because it is supernatural. It's more than being nice, good manners, or respectability, certainly more than philanthropy. It would be impossible to achieve without God's grace. Think of the martyrs, the saints. Yesterday's saint, Isaac Jogues. Imagine giving your life to convert the Indians and then having your thumb gnawed off slowly, and that done diabolically so as to prevent him, the priest, from offering Mass. Or giving yourself in exchange for some poor Christian who ended up captured by the Muslims in Africa and was now a slave till death. And then, having done so, St. Raymond Nonatus would not cease preaching Jesus Christ to save these poor benighted Muslims. He would not be still, and for that reason, they pierced his lips with a hot iron and padlocked them shut. Or even the gentle example of today's saints, Cosmas and Damian, they're the doctors who never sent a bill. This is what St. Paul is inculcating. Those are extreme examples, but you and I must know the way. I, a prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation in which you are called, with all humility and mildness, with patience, supporting one another in charity, careful to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, one body and one spirit, as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. To be good, yes, but there's more to it, to walk worthy. It's more than just to get along. St. Paul is telling the Ephesians, look, you're not Jews on one side of the aisle and Gentiles on the other anymore. You are one body. You are one baptism. It's all about oneness or unity. I couldn't find anything, though, about angels in today's Mass, and it is Angel Sunday, but if you insist, there is one reference to once the most beautiful and the greatest of the angels, the light bearer, Lucifer. Now he is the devil. He merits a mention because it's all his work that's going on, what's gone on since the snake was driven out of paradise, out of hatred and jealousy to rob God of souls. So the devil has his own version of the story, a false unity, a religion replacement. In fact, today's collect is the only time the devil is mentioned in the Sunday prayer or collect over the course of the entire year. And of all things, Lucifer's name today is mentioned in connection with diabolica contagia, with contagion. What's a contagion? Something catchy, a bad infection that's going around more, an epidemic, and yes, a pandemic. So what is this diabolic contagion that's catchy, that's going around? For Christians, since the beginning, we have cleaved to the truth in the 95th Psalm. All the gods of the pagans are demons. So much for ecumenism. What we're looking at today is devil worship. That's what's happening, not just in secret, we always get that, but in the streets. This is the black heart, the secret of the BLM. They're not just Marxists or atheists. The three women who are the foundresses openly admit that they are witches. Yes, use any name you wish for their government-sanctioned activities, riot, arson, burning, beating, terrorizing, theft, maiming, and murder. But the reality is satanic. Reviving the devil worship, which goes with paganism. See, Satan, remember, is the ape of God. This is revived today in two ways by the BLM. And the first of these is spiritualism, talking to spirits who are really demons. This was a fad with respectable white people in the late 19th and early 20th century. For a while, you know, there was a little spiritualist church right down 747 in that shopping center. Second, there is a thread which used to hold together pagan society, sacrifice, particularly the sacrifice of a scapegoat, human sacrifice. Spiritualism first. These Black Lives Matter ladies claim they receive their spiritual power from the dead whom they invoke, to whom they make offerings. As soon as they pitch on some particular criminal or lowlife who has died, the first thing they do is to make offerings to his spirit. In the old days, when this religion was practiced in Africa, it would be honey or tobacco, but it was always something that the deceased loved in life. So today, for, say, George Floyd, doubtless it would be alcohol and fentanyl, plenty of that. And they maintain that to say his name, the name of that man, is to have a seance, to call forth his dead spirit. Why? To invoke chaos upon our nation, and that there are always witches there laughing. Now, the dead are not demons, but the entities which respond when the dead are invoked are not the souls of the dead, but rather demons speaking, seeking to manipulate those who invoke them. This includes those who support the movement. Think about that. It is the mass unleashing of devils upon our country. But America is up in flames for another related reason, another, you might say, outreach of the occult. Christianity overturned the false values which united pagan society in acts of violence. That is why those who would not worship the gods or the emperor had to be killed. Scapegoat. Nero, they say, probably burned down Rome. He wanted some urban development funds, probably. But he blamed it on the Christians. From Nero to Wilson and World War I. World War I, Cincinnati, among other cities, the Germans were the scapegoats, so far that the names of streets had to be changed. And in World War II as well, then many of the enemy aliens, so-called, had to be herded off to camps. Camps. Keep that idea in mind. Now, those who were killed in Roman times were most often killed in the Colosseum, which witnessed the barbaric killing of the scapegoat, their torture and death, the Christians. The Colosseum was a true church of pagan Rome, which gathered the crowds of worshipers together, not the temple itself, no, but the Colosseum. The streets are their sanctuaries today, and the night, midnight, is their hour of worship. But you see it in all of the pagan cults, this idea of human sacrifice and of a scapegoat. In the Middle East, all of the pagan Molochs, or Beelzebub, the kings of Judah and Israel had a hard time resisting. The Hebrews very often went along to worship at the high places, and it entailed human sacrifice. Akaz, the king who was accosted by Isaiah in our great epistle for Advent, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son," he was on his way to kill his child for the defense of his city. The killing of children, 50 million babies today, to appease their gods, the demons. Only some 50 years before Our Lady appeared at Guadalupe in Mexico to convert the Aztecs, they were offering up to their devil gods, over the course of a four-day period, 85,000 human sacrifices in order to dedicate a temple. The idea was not only to appease their gods, but also to appease the people, even if only momentarily. A little over 150 years ago, in Nigeria, the Igbo tribe used to consider all strangers as enemies, and if they didn't know you when you came to the village, why then you would be invited to stay for dinner, and it was an invitation you could not turn down. By a sacrificial act which united all of the people. Now keep in mind Paul's plan in today's epistle, God's plan, St. Paul explains it to us. They were looking, in some sense, for their own form of godless spirituality, something that would unite the people and elevate them, make them feel good about things, as though doing a good thing, something noble. They call it today being spiritual. But our blessed Savior pacified this violent urge in fallen human nature, the desire for unity through bloodshed, and violence. St. Paul says, making peace, that's how he did it, making peace through the blood of his cross. How? Diliges, thou shalt love. By forgiveness. The greatest crime in history, the history of humanity, was the Holocaust of Jesus Christ upon the cross, the God-man who shed the last drops of his blood. Jesus Christ was the scapegoat. Caiaphas pronounced it as a prophecy. It is expedient that one man should die so the whole people do not perish. But before he died, our blessed Savior overturned the old religion of revenge and of hatred and of fear by one word, Father, forgive them. And thus, Almighty God put the good in front of the Friday, Good Friday, even until now, and left us not only a personal example to imitate his forgiveness, but also gave the lie to paganism, the belief that only bloody violence could unite man and elevate him. That's the BLM today, but that is as well the perpetual wars of the respectable right. How would you like to have your family and your town bombed again and again and again? And under the claim of making the world safe for democracy, making the world a better place, as we return to paganism, humans can and do destroy neighborhoods, property, peace, lives, the lives of policemen, children, white as well as black, and all of our liberties. But they cannot destroy one thing, the yearning within for something more than ourselves, some great demanding sacrifice, some noble cause which will both satisfy the soul and unite man's efforts. The crowd, especially the college crowd, college-age, college-educated, college graduate students, the crowd, well, they were raised this way, but they've walked away from Christianity's transcendence, which only God, the God they deny, can bestow, and have gone over to the darkness. What is going on? Well, if you take off the mask, it is the devil. May we avoid his infections. And when you can't take it anymore, the kingdom of darkness, look at a child. Look at a little child, as the Savior did, calling a child into their midst. And he said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.